Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
We're coming to you live from WRBG Radio. Tonight we got a special speaker for you. He's an up-and-coming artist. He's one of the new leaders and starting trends. Hold on one moment.
Hey, man, they're ready for you, bro. Yeah, they ready. Everybody in there.
Attention, all soldiers, come gather formation. My African warriors to my thugs and gangsters. It's time to fight hard, cause our life is in danger. Stop practicing on each other and get the one that's a gangster. It's time to link up and form one big army. Unite all of our numbers, get them people up off us. This whole thing designed to get you broke or you locked up. But we gon' tear it down because this world belongs to us. I say more, touch and step, rip and come for the devil. You can see death in line, you got nine, what's the fuck? Circulate the black dollar, keep the black dollar black. We were taught by master not to have each other back. Now we linking with each other, help each other stack. Black pride, one nation, strong and black. That's what's up. See that jive that you seek, it ain't all that it seems. They tryna really let your Black Wall Street dream. You gon' make it all happen like a king and a queen. But when you rep the culture, it ain't hard as it seems. We gon' march like Martin by the window like X. We gon' free our people by enemies next. Since the last Queen Omega showed us that we're royalty. And garments like the bread and bars are both to set us free. When I march, fucking step, ripping, come to the dump. We gon' see you pass their lies, you deny they bring guns, they bring dope, alcohol to the hood. They want you to sell dope, kill and rob for your food. But they ain't bring no jobs, so people dying for the food. It's Operation Us and we gon' operate on us. When I say march, you say step, rep and come to the dump. You can see past they lies, you got knowledge yourself. You's a king, you's a queen, to your people, you's a savior. If you don't know your culture, come and let me activate ya.
I fight you, I fight myself, I fight God, just tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorstep. Life to live in hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid in relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bumps the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all prophecy, and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
you
be.
Pray for me.
Let's go.
After all, Thomas Jefferson says they don't. So he becomes a critical person in making those statements. But you see, it was all to relieve and to settle the conscience that he died with. But these become very important as you see how these things move forward. Then there was J. Marion Sims. I won't spend a lot of time with him. He's another figure. You can Google him. There's a statue, actually, of him in Central Park. And J. Marion Sims was an individual credited. He was the father of, that's not even so much that he said it, but he was an important person. If Joe, nobody said it, but he said it. So what do you think the rest of the folks, uneducated laborers, believed? Well, they don't feel grief, you know. After all, Thomas Jefferson says they don't. So he becomes a critical person in making those statements. But you see, it was all to relieve and to settle the conscience that he died with. But these become very important as you see how these things move forward. Then there was J. Marion Sims. I won't spend a lot of time with him. He's another figure. You can Google him. There's a statue, actually, of him in Central Park. And J. Marion Sims was an individual credited. He was the father of modern gynecology. How many women in here know what a vaginal speculum is? And for those men in the room that we lost, a vaginal speculum is a device designed to open up the vagina. It was considered one of the most important advancements in medicine that was made. He was credited as being the wealthiest physician to have ever lived. And what's interesting about him, you know, look at the medals pinned on him. I was just very curious about how it was they regarded this man, because no one ever really looked at how did he come up with that vaginal speculum. The way he did it was he actually worked on experiments on unanesthetized slave women. He created a makeshift hospital in his backyard in the mid-1800s. He built the first vaginal speculum from a pewter spoon. And he reasoned that slave women were able to bear great pain, meaning we don't need any anesthesia, because their race made them more durable and thus they were well suited for painful medical experimentation. We didn't even you know, because we didn't feel like other women could feel. This man would cut into women, cut into them, and just said, well, since they're black, they don't really feel it. Unbelievable. And more importantly is what he did to infants, because not only did he experiment on women, he also experimented on infants. He said that black infants suffered from something he called trimus nascentium, which is now commonly referred to as neonatal tetanus. Neonatal tetanus originates in horse manure, which was the likely cause of the disease in slave infants. He attributed it to the indecency and intellectual flaws of slave infants together with skull malformations at birth. That is the Shoemaker's awl. And that's the 1800s Shoemaker's awl. He would stick that into the heads of brand new infants in an effort to realign their skulls based on the indecency and intellectual flaws of their parents to treat the malady. Of course, it was 100% death rate. But that's what he would stick in the head of a baby at birth. And so these are things that are so horrific that you can't possibly wrap your head around it. And this man is, I mean, just Google him. And you think to myself, I think to myself, if I were up here in front of you right now, and this is going to become very important as you move, I move into the other slides, if I stomped a puppy to death out here, up here, just a little puppy, and stomped it right here to death in front of you, most of you would need therapy. And I would be arrested probably faster than killing a black man for killing a puppy. How could you do that? Do you realize how much dissonance you have to remove in order to stick that into the brain of a child? More importantly, the child can no longer be human. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The reason why he could do it is they weren't human. They didn't even feel pain. That's what this man believed. Now, you may look at that and go, those are horrific things from the past. There is a book out right now, Not Table Reading. It's called Medical Apartheid. This is written by Harriet Washington, came out last year. This book chronicles the experimentation on black people up to contemporary day. See, we want to look at the Tuskegee experiments. We want to look at Sims and go, oh, that just still going on. Implicated, Harvard, Johns Hopkins, because we weren't what? Human. So that dehumanization is something that we really got to appreciate went on for a long time. Can you go back? Back one more. No white could ever rape a slave woman. The regulations of law as to the white race on the subject of sexual intercourse do not and cannot, for obvious reasons, apply to slaves. Their intercourse is promiscuous. We've now justified raping black women because they can't be raped. We aren't raping them. They're promiscuous by nature. So we can't do it. Forward, one more. The fact that white men could profit from raping their female slaves does not mean that their motive was economic. The rape of slave women by their masters was primarily a weapon of terror that reinforced whites' domination over their human property. Rape was an act of physical violence designed to stifle black women's will to resist and to remind them of their servile status. These become
black power, black power, black power family. You are live here on New Black Panther Party Radio. Call in right now, 718-664-6398, the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, under our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. You're live here with your host, Brother Katib Sadiq, National Chief of Staff, and this is day 468. You all know that we have made the statement, the apocalypse is now. Today's topic is freedom, injustice, and medical apartheid, part one. And we have our national chairwoman on the line with us, Sister Crystal. Can you hear me? Let's get a mic check.
Black Power, mic check, mic check. Wild Burgers, right, and sisters, this has been a very heavy, heavy, heavy show that we're going to lay out tonight. First, we want to give our praise and honor to the Creator and the ancestors. And we call on all the warrior ancestors to be with us in this moment to give us protection against all these wicked forces that are coming against us and to cover us as we are indeed in the time of a great trial and great peril. I want to give our condolences on behalf of the New Black Panther Party to Dr. Ali and Sister Amina Muhammad of the Revolutionary Black Panther Party as they endured such a horrific battle fighting for the life of Prince Naeem, who transitioned into the realm of the Aegon Goon on yesterday evening. While our broadcast was taking place, Dr. Ali Muhammad and the Revolutionary Black Panther Party and his wife, along with the comrades, have been allies of the New Black Panther Party for years, since our Minister of Information, rest in peace, Brother Fahim Ali, was murdered in 2014. We met Dr. Ali, and he and his wife and his wives and his comrades came to assist us in helping to find out what happened. Oh, and what happened to Fahim. And we met Dr. Ali on the ground in Miami, Florida, as we did a people's investigation and verified that our former Minister of Information, who was the original host of this broadcast, Fahim Ali, had been shot down in front of his front door at his home in Miami, Florida. Dr. Ali and his comrades came up and were on the ground with us, and we got the facts, and we put out a wanted poster for the Black Devil that killed our comrade who actually lived next door. Man, listen, we live in the time of the apocalypse as we speak. As we have started this nightly broadcast, this broadcast of the New Black Panther Party Radio initially started, and we have been running this broadcast up until 2020. We had run this broadcast every Monday night consistently. When there have been a few hurricanes and disasters that have hit, and we activated the Black Cross, and when the Black Cross was activated, we would do nightly broadcasts until the conditions related to these disasters stabilized. But when the pandemic, the biological weapon of the coronavirus, was unleashed unto the people, we permanently activated the Black Cross, and we said that we were dealing with the Black Cross and made this broadcast a nightly broadcast indefinitely. And we said from the beginning, when we started making this nightly broadcast in 2020, that we were at the dawn of anarchy as we witnessed all the so-called social norms of the world come to a halt. Churches were shut down. Sports arenas were shut down. Businesses were shut down. People were sent home. Food scarcity initiated. There was a scurrying amongst the people, leading to the dawn of anarchy in which we still are in. And as the situation escalated and we received more and more information and the pigs didn't slow down on their ethnic cleansing and genocide, they escalated and got more aggressive, and they allowed and showed it on the news, George Floyd to be murdered in cold blood in our face live, while four police officers snuffed the life out of him for us to witness and see. And there was some anarchy, rebellion burst out all across the United States of America. And we saw cities after cities on fire. And we said, not only are we at the dawn of anarchy, our caption title switched to the eve of revolution. We are still in the dawn of anarchy. It is indeed the eve of revolution. But the spiritual realm of what we must understand, the dawn of anarchy was on the political realm. The evolution, a revolution, was on a physical realm. And we are in the, during living the apocalypse now, is a spiritual realm. Physical, spiritually, mentally. Our people have evolved. And the people are evolving. And truth is being replaced with belief. And all the things that have been shut in the dark are shut in the blinded or bleached out are becoming revealed. And those of us who hold on to the dark side, those of us who know that we are the original people, those of us who know that black is beautiful, those of us who are black and proud, those of us who will not compromise with the police, those of us who will not walk with unscrupulous people have come under direct attack. Our individual selves as well as our children. Dr. Ali Muhammad and his family have been on the front line with armed maneuvers. Prior to these different armed demonstrations of mass gatherings that have been led by the police, you really only saw two formations that were out doing armed demonstrations. Of course, the New Black Panther Party on the forefront across the country, but you also saw the Revolutionary Black Panther Party taking an armed stance against its criminal enterprise called the United States government, our allies. And one of the comrades, Minister of Defense for the Revolutionary Black Panther Party, life was taken the same day that the Fred Hampton movie came out, General Oshawa Nkosi. And Dr. Ali reached out for us to get the word out. But little, we have mentioned this before. This is not our first program talking about medical apartheid. We deal with medical apartheid with Baby Tinsley down here in Texas as we expose the racism in these the racism in these hospitals. And who would have known? And that was one of, I know Dr. Ali them on right now. I'm introducing them. I have to say this. As we were dealing with the tragedy of how these hospitals use a medical apartheid with Baby Tinsley here in Texas, who'd have known, and that was with one of our comrades in Texas, who'd have known that another one of our comrades would be over in Florida and would have to endure such a horrible battle as well as their son, Brother Naeem Carter, has been fighting for his life since 2019, and Brother Dr. Ali Muhammad giving over, giving the responsibility that is for General Oshawa to take command as he and his wife and family were 24 hours on watch with their son. They took a break, I got to say this, to go and talk about General Oshawa, and they were I brought them out to a man who I thought would help them, to Hawker Bay, who wound up being a very wicked and evil man, a very wicked and evil man who has launched a defamation and slander campaign full of lies, gossip, and innuendo against not only Dr. Ali, but also against myself when I would not allow him to get me to speak ill of my comrade. And this wicked man, to Hawker Bay of Moorish World TV, has taken an onslaught of launching yellow journalism, false news, fake news, lies, defamation, and slander against myself, the New Black Panther Party under this formation, as well as Dr. Ali Muhammad. And there are those others who use this wicked man to go out and tell more lies. We have enemies that look just like us. Let's be clear of that. Because in the days of the apocalypse, in the days of the Armageddon, yes, it's white against black. Yes, it's racial. Yes, it's government's falling. Yes, the people will rise. But you got to watch out for those who look like us, because in the New Black Panther Party, we don't fuck with crackers. Everyone knows that. So they would have to send those who look like us to try to disrupt us. Try to they would not be successful and have not. We battled them back. But Dr. Ali Muhammad and his family, such a powerful family, have been fighting day in and day out for almost 2 years for their son's life. And I want to say this family is so strong. We witnessed something very horrific yesterday when Dr. Ali called us like 5-something to let us know what the hospital was trying to do by taking it, stop helping his son. He called the day before when they gave him something that tried to stop his heartbeat. I know for a fact that they've been battling with those hospitals trying to get their son back home and get better care. I know for a fact, but through the horror of what was taking place, we watched Sister Amina and Dr. Ali's live and his sister Jamila's live feed while this was taking place when the hospital refused to help them. We saw something so horrible with what the hospital was doing, and we saw something so powerfully spiritual with how hard they fought and how strong they were. And we can feel the power and the energy of Naeem. This child has to be, he was and is, a messianic energy. He was a messianic energy. This was a ritual that they did yesterday. I'm going to look this up, that those hospitals did. These wicked people. This child fought so hard against our laws and his family, and they never stopped. They never stopped. They pushed the pigs out when the pigs tried to come in. Did y'all see that? They made the pigs back. Resist the devil and watch them flee, as it says in the Quran. This trial that has become upon this family is not only the trial of Dr. Ali's family, but it is our trial as well. Because no way should we be taking ourselves or our children or any of us into these devil's hospitals. But niggas are so busy trying to fight those of us who don't want to be with the devil, who won't compromise, who don't believe in their medical system, who know that they're murdering us. The devil was made by the doctors. Never forget what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us and the medical examiner, the coroners. Never forget how these wicked people, this European race, came into existence. They came into existence off of the slaughter of our people. But this family, Sasamina, she stood with such grace and strength and pain and fought and showed. It's like they didn't let you not see what was going on. Similar to how Emmett Till's mother wanted the casket to be opened. This is what they did when that family let us witness what was taking place on yesterday. And we made copies of it, Facebook, because you're going to try to take it down, but you can't. We have copies, thousands of people. And you will pay for what you did, Neil Moore Children's Hospital. We love this family. But see, you messed with the wrong one. Only this family could have endured and been so strong. Any other family would have broken and surrendered. Any other family would have broken and surrendered. But not the Muhammad. Not this family. So let's bring on Dr. Ali Muhammad and Sister Amina. And we started out with Dr. Joy LaRue talking about the medical apartheid. And it is what it is. They are trying to take us out. And unfortunately, they think they did something with Naeem, but you just don't know. His messianic energy is here, and he will be the guardian for his mother, father, and sisters and brothers in the spiritual realm, which is something that the white man can never touch. Black power.
Black
Dr.
Power,
Ali.
Black power.
Sister
power.
Amina.
Black power. Peace and love.
The floor is yours.
Black power. You can hear us, right?
We love y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you
can
hear us,
y'all,
right?
Man.
We can hear you.
Very
yes.
Good. Very good. We appreciate you all. We appreciate you all, and we love you all. And, you know, it's one thing when you're going through a situation and circumstances. Another, when the eyes who are seeing from the outside have perceived, you know, what you all have gone through. what I'd like to start off with, you know, well, first and foremost, I couldn't have chosen a better person to, and same thing, I know she said the same thing, to reproduce Nain with Dennis Mother. The reason why he is the way he is because of who we are. And she's dynamic and powerful. And those who know me, you know the same dynamic with myself. And so he's a product of our energy and what also our ancestors and the creator in the universe made him to be. You know, we want you to know that we understand that Nain had a purpose. Nain has, let me not say has, because that's thinking in a different way. Nain has a purpose. And Nain's purpose, what the enemy doesn't understand. You can come after him at 2, 3, 4, 1, whatever the age period is, or 100, and he's still going to fulfill his purpose. You didn't stop his purpose. You made it stronger. And there are changes that we've had over us that and some personalities that is a whole different dynamic. Nain added to who and what we are. And the devastating assault to the womb of the black woman, the mutilated womb, and what comes out of her womb, which is the black child and black life, is always a thing that we have to worry about, even during childbirth, even while carrying children, because we know that there's so many different things we have to go through in a racist society and dealing with the things that we have to deal with. But as you watch me and my wife sit there and fight for our child's life, we were in the moment. We were in the moment. But for those of you who saw from the outside, as we've been getting responses and calls and support, we understand that our life and Naeem's life basically is helping to heal and reveal a very deep thing about the racism, the apartheid in the medical industry. And that here's what I like to say. What I like to emphatically say is that every 28 to 34 hours, still here in 2021, you can't beat the statistic because it comes out every year. One time they said it was down to 16 hours, right? A person of African descent is a victim of agents of the state known as law enforcement via being shot to death, right? Well, Nain was shot too, except it was a needle. And just as other situations and cases like the George Floyd case revealed to the world, we already knew what goes on all the time, but revealed to the world the treachery for those moments that they had their knee on his neck. Well, for Nain, it was 3 hours of their neglect, and it was ongoing to a certain level. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk some background about Nain and express to give people a clear picture of what exactly happened and how it led up to what it led up to. So I'm going to do a clear picture. And then after I do that clear picture, my wife, Deputy Chief of the Revolutionary Black Panther Party, Amina Zuria Setmayat, Amina Muhammad, she will speak thereafter as well. Well, she could have, you know, she was about to get on first, but she was like, you go ahead. She told me to go ahead. So here's the situation now. So the situation at hand is this. For those of you who don't know, but many do know, our son, Nain Carter, and some ask, you know, what about Carter? Well, that's his mother's maiden name. That's his mother's maiden name. And so our son is a near-drowning survivor. He unfortunately, on February the 4th, 2020, due to circumstances that were beyond our control, ended up a survivor of a near drowning. And the twisted part with that, see, people don't understand how things are ongoing. It's not like something that just popped up out of the sky or something that just, you know, popped up out of the ground or you know, an incident. Well, that's a racist incident. But no, you don't understand that it's steady. The incidences are steady. Like the medical industry, it's racism. The pharmaceutical industry, it's racism. It is not something that is isolated to certain individuals. It's a collective thing. It's a national thing, and in many ways, an international phenomenon. Like most Def said, you know, he said they stay on nigger patrol on American roads, and when you travel abroad, they got world nigger laws. So it even gets international. So here's what I want to say. That very day that Nain was a Ned Johnson survivor, these bastards were racist that day, meaning that they had here you come to the scene of a Ned Johnson survivor. They bring the damn police. That's number one. They gave us certain type of hostilities towards his life's revival that day, because the same thing I told you as we in private conversations anyways, as we mentioned that that they were trying to give us issues with that. The attorney is calling us right now. Give me 1 second. I'm going to get back on the air. If you can give me 1 second.
Yes, I will help. I will follow up. We're supposed to cover down on our comrades.
Just stay there. I got to be right back. We'll be right back.
Okay, yes. I want to say that, you know, we specifically, due to the security issues, we spoke on Naeem's life, but we didn't specifically say that it was Dr. Ali's son because of the fact that we knew who he was and what he was going through, and that the hospitals may have tried to purposely neglect him because they knew he was the child of a revolutionary. And, you know, through this horrific situation, we have stood with Dr. Ali, as well as Sister Amina. Now, mind you, all of this took place. It started actually right before the so-called pandemic was unleashed. And so there was so much going on. And not only is medical apartheid a racist situation, it's a classist situation. We have heard here in Texas when they tried to pull the plug on Baby Tinsley, and the hospitals had a policy in which they were giving the people, the families, only 10 days if they decided they were going to pull the plug, not because of the fact that the medical attention could not bring them back to life or preserve life, which is what medical professionals are supposed to do, but it was all based off of money, the cost that it would take to administer medical aid when someone has such a severe injury or a severe condition. It shouldn't be any cost when it comes to preserving life. But we do know for a fact that, and there are studies to prove it, Dr. Joy LaRue, who our program started out with tonight, a clip of, has gave a whole history of how wicked this medical industry is and how our people were the human experiment that these wicked white so-called doctors would test on and do all kind of wicked medical experiments on, as they still do to today. We know they did it in Tuskegee. We know they did it to the Queen Henrietta and took her stem cells. And they're doing it right now with the COVID. They're doing it in the hospitals daily. How many people are told this is nothing more that we can do? The doctors told this family, Dr. Ali's and the family, that since 20 of last year. And yet they knew and could see their son alive, just like with Baby Tinsley. She was very much alive, breathing. And they tried to take her off of a breathing machine. She was alive, conscious.
Black Power, can you hear me?
Yes. And Cook County and Fort Worth. And now our brother's back. And the same thing that Cook County tried in Fort Worth with Baby Tinsley, the hospitals in Florida did with Dr. Ali, and he's here to tell it on his own. He's back, as you were, brother, Black Power.
Thank you, Black Power. So what I was saying is that the racism didn't just start June 14, 2021. The medical racism, which is the medical industrial complex, the pharmaceutical industrial complex, the military industrial complex, the law enforcement or police industrial complex, the political industrial complex, the academic industrial complex, the utilities industrial complex, the housing industrial complex, the any kind, just the damn complex, all of it has a bias racism.
The so-called white supremacy complex. The so-called white supremacy imperialistic, so-called imperialistic complex. Go ahead.
That's right. All of it is against us and targets us on a daily, nightly, and consistent basis. So when his narrative, typically when somebody is injured, especially a drowning, and law enforcement, and medical professionals come out, they don't have police come out. This is a 3-year-old child at that time who had a near drowning. So when they came, the police came in mass, came to the house in mass, and tried to create a situation. At that time, you know, it was a back and forth dynamic where they had our son, they had Naeem, and we didn't even get to go in an ambulance with them. Since when has a juvenile gotten to an ambulance and no parent is with them? Then they put yellow tape up because this is insane, you know, and there's pictures of that because there's an investigation. So all of this is documented. They put yellow tape up. And for over an hour, we did not know where our son was. We did not know. Because they're sitting here being hostile and being racist and doing foolishness, right? And so anyways, after about an hour, they said, you know, your son is this place and that place, and then, you know, we made our way towards going to him. And so he was airlifted, and they started the foolishness then, further foolishness, because it went from one thing to the other, from, you know, us doing CPR to revive him after his – yesterday brought up all of that. From his first initial situation and circumstance, his near drowning. At that particular point in time, was done that he had a pulse, and you could hear him. We did that after he got out the pool. Then they came and create so much hostility that we weren't even able to get an ambulance with our son. And they put up, like I said, yellow tape. Put up yellow tape near the area where he had the near drowning. Moving right along. And I was pissed. I said, you come out here and this is a drowning, a near drowning, and you come out like, you know, you came out to a shooting. Life has to be preserved. It's a big thing, you know, with them back and forth. But just getting back to the point. So anyways,
and Dr. Ali, you have an hour and 12 minutes, so there's no need to rush. Go ahead.
Okay, we appreciate that. So now he goes to Van Health Hospital. His mother gets there first because she's actually in the she actually is airlifted with him, and she goes with them. She's airlifted with him, and so I myself, you know, I'm driving, so she gets there before I do. And while she's there, you know, they size us up. You know, I guess they always think we like, I guess, teenagers. I mean, you know, black don't crack. But anyway, so they're like, you guys are, you all are young, you know, and, you know, and he's a black child in America, you know, you shouldn't have him on life support, you know, it would be best, you know, to take him off. And, you know, it devastated her. So when I got there, she told them to repeat what they said. And so I said, listen, you know. She had her questions for them also, but I'm just, you know, speaking on what I said to them. I said, what's his vitals right now? And he had great vitals at that time. At that time, he had a heart rate of about 117. He had an oxygen level then. It was about maybe like 90 something, but he was good. His vitals were great. The only issue, and his pulse, you know, the same heart rate. The only issue that Naeem had was the fact that due to the near drowning, his lungs was compromised because, you know, he had lung failure, and so he just needed ventilators. And so He urinated since he was there, and he defecated since he was there. And so that question was asked, too. Is he doing that? He's doing all that on his own. So why are we going to take life off of life support? I told him that's just what that is, support for his life, and he's living. And so we said, absolutely not. We won't do anything like that. And so then they got mad. They was like, you know, they don't need our permission. They'll do it themselves. So at that point in time, we had to get lawyers then. Isn't that insane? The black people, because the average black person, like, look at what they did to DMX, not to get off topic. Did the same foolishness. But then let me get back to the point, though. So they said that. So we went and got lawyers. We went and got, different levels of backup and support so that to do an injunction against them. But we let them know that we were standing our ground and holding it firm. And we did not allow them folks to touch our son. My wife was strong. I was strong. Our families were strong because everybody was there. Both grandmothers, grandfather, brothers, aunties, cousins, we held it. They didn't think Naeem had that much support because at first they just saw me and her, and we looked kind of, we went through something. So we got on, clothes look like we've been working out, that kind of thing. So, that's how they looking, I'm not trying to talk them, but they're like, these some broke down niggas. We just going to run one on them. They just really didn't know who or what they was dealing with. So when they seen everybody showed up, that was a whole different dynamic too. But anyway, so we gave them paperwork then that they wasn't harming him. They were not going to do anything to jeopardize his life. And then when the lawyers got on it, then they established an ethics meeting. At that meeting, these bastards were very disrespectful, talking about his quality of life. We don't think he's there. And so we saying, how could he not be there? And his organs, every organ in his body functions except his lungs. He's defecating, urinating, and you can't. There's no hocus pocus with that. All of that comes from your brain. But they were just on and on and on with this foolishness. So basically, his mother kept saying, Naeem just need a little time. That's all, he needs a little time. And she kept saying that, give him a little time. And she told him, she said, give Naeem. What did you tell him?
I said they need to give him 2 weeks. At least give him 2 weeks.
She said, at least give him 2 weeks. She liked it. Like she Naeem get that part from her where she come up with she can get to like have these premonitions and visions and they all come through. I'm not trying to go too far and get off topic, but there's plenty of times if I listen to her, some of the issues they done came at me with, I could have avoided. Even some people, like she told me, she said, listen, don't make that person no general in that city. And I was like, why not? I said, that's such a great person. She told me, I'm telling you not to do it. And as soon as she said not to do it, the idiots showed who they were. So she's very dynamic for that. But let me get to the point.
Two weeks later, Naeem started moving. And I wasn't expecting, nobody was expecting, him to do how he moved. Naeem lifted his whole arm. Like, he lifted his arm up while the nurse was changing his diaper. And he lifted his whole arm. He spooked the nurse because they wasn't expecting him to do that. And so, that was 2 weeks after his near drowning. But you can go ahead.
Yeah, they were trying to paint a picture, he's he's not here, all of that. So like she said, she told him to give him time. So then here's what they did. The day before it made 2 weeks, they called and they was like, they was upfront about it. So, the medical industry is also, they said the hospital is also business.
Yeah,
they said the business.
It's not funny, but that's what they, it's funny because we know that, we're not dumb and like we're not gullible black people. So, we understood, the concept of what they were saying. And then, they did say a few times, like, this is a business, And so it was just a very sick moment, but you can go ahead.
Yeah, so that's what they said. They called and said that the director of that floor called us and told us that. And, so tomorrow we're having an ethics meeting and we're going to have to do something. I said, well, we're back to where we were before. You're not going to do anything. So So here's what Naeem did. Naeem started moving that day. Like he said, he lifted his arm up. But then he started doing all sorts of stuff. You know, he started moving in many different ways. He started then responding to your voice. Well, we're like, move Naeem, and he'll move his shoulders, move his head. He started then. This is 2 weeks. So he was above the curve then. Serious progression. So then we said, go ahead. Any test you want to do, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. So they did what they call a brain death exam. He passed with flying colors. His EEG was great. It read extravagantly good. So at this time, Naeem was approaching what is a partial coma. So eventually, here's what they did, though. So instead of those bastards coming to us and saying, it's great, you know, your son, he's here. We didn't know, you know. They actually just had an attitude and got worse, okay? So then there was certain things they did there that was just totally disgusting. They wasn't changing the dressing. He got a tracheostomy and he got a G-tube in his stomach. And they weren't cleaning the stuff properly. So the departments that put that on, I mean, that actually did the procedures, had to take over. And it was just a lot of crap. So he got discharged. He went there February the 4th, 2020, and got discharged April 21st, 2020, to home health care. And it eventually, he started off with like four or five nurses. Eventually with my wife, my mother, and members of our family helping, but mostly just us, you know, and maybe a nurse here and there. And just imagine this part, and I'm going to get back to the point. Imagine what a mother has to go through to see her son in that position every day. It's just every day, you know. Imagine what she goes, I'm saying how strong she is my point. Imagine how strong she is to see that. And so that's the point, because she has to have a vision and an understanding and a deeper connection than most people would think. So moving right along. So basically we're good. So from April, you know, Naeem is great. He go to all his medical visits. He clears good. He's in great health. He's doing physical therapy. He's moving his foot and his body and his limbs on count and on cue, you know, to keep him moving, because, you know, being a coma and all that, to keep everything good, keep his joints good, and he's moving on count, even sitting up, responding to your voice and responding to his mother every time she sang. You know, she sang to him while he was in her womb. It's a particular song she likes to sing to him. She sung to him outside. One of the first times he moved extravagantly great is when she sung this song to him that she's been singing to him all his life. And if she's open, she'll let everybody know what that song is. And so she sung, and he moved extravagantly great that time, but getting to the point. So he was great. We were taking great care of our son. And then he ended up having pneumonia. Now, you know, there were people around, like nurses that, you know, had sniffles in and out. So, of course, you know, rhinovirus, you know, common cold. It's something tough to someone like Naeem, who his lung, you know, was his lungs were compromised and he's near drowning. The only problem he ever had, but he had no other issue ever being home. So in December of 2020, December 29th, he went to a visit with his pulmonologist, and his CO2, that's what we breathe out. It was high. You know, typically he always was great, 30 to 40. This time it was 60 and went up to 80. But we told them emphatically, we reiterate, we said, when they said he had an issue, right? Because here's what we did. So, you know, Naeem, if he was ever in any pain, and maybe if we concluded that he may have had like a, you know, the common cold or something like that, we would give Naeem, once we see his temperature rise, because this is how he would respond to us, through a temperature and a couple of different things. So we had his behavior down to a science. He kind of act like he was before he was in his partial coma. So we would give him Tylenol, and he'll be great, you know. And then, of course, we have him check to see if there's an infection, and we give him antibiotics. And we've never had no problem taking care of Naeem at all. He was always great in our care. And always, if he had anything simple, we was able to take care of it. But we were saying he had no major problems or issues under our care. He was great. You know, very well taken care of, very clean, very proper, very well fed, very well nourished, and very, very great. So moving right along, he goes there December 29th for pneumonia. We told him, we said, we don't want him to go anywhere. We don't trust him going anywhere. Just let him come home. Yeah, give him the antibiotics that he needs, you know, whatever treatment we need to put inside, you know, his vent, for him to actually get that, you know, like if he needs the nebulizer, whatever he needs, give it to us, and we'll take care of it. So they insisted on him going to the hospital, and we didn't want him to go. So that's how he ended up at Nemours on December 29th. So he went there with pneumonia. It only took a few weeks to get that straight, you know. But, you know, while he was gone, he only had one home health care nurse at the house. We did all the work, you know, because that nurse was, like, on one, you know, kind of ended up coming when she wanted to. So we was just doing everything, you know. We were doing everything. So moving right along. So, you know, she took on another case in those few weeks he was in the hospital. And in order for Naeem to get clear to go home, you know, because he was he had 24/7 nursing as documented, even though that's not what was able to be provided, he couldn't leave the hospital without 4 to 6 nurses. So that was the issue. So now, because Naeem didn't have a medical issue at the hospital, they were paying out of pocket for Naeem. And Dr. Potts said specifically, you know, since Naeem doesn't have any reason to be here medically, he's not medically, you know, he's medically cleared to go home. He's medically cleared to go home. Now, you know, we have to pay out of pocket. So they were upset with the fact that they had to pay out of pocket to take care of Naeem. That was the issue. So moving right along, that same doctor, not too long after making that statement, okay, we had either I and my wife or I or my wife will be at the hospital with Naeem. And in our absence, General Nazir will be at the hospital with Naeem. He was never left alone. So you have someone there by his bedside. What reason do you have to call us to tell the information? You could tell the actual caretaker who's there, you know. So he calls us, and he's like, well, I mean, it is vital information. Let me say that. But I'm saying they could have told him. But they told us. He called me. He's like, Naeem looked like he was having a seizure. So I gave him Ativan. Now, you know, Ativan is like, you know, it's a heavy sedative. It's a date to it. It can stop your heart. He gave him a large dose of Ativan. So they were trying to stop his heart since January. A large dose of Ativan. And he said after he gave it to Naeem, it sounded like everything went flat. So when his colleague comes in the morning, they're going to declare him dead. I said, I'm going to declare this to you, that you're not going to touch my son. I said, and you didn't have any permission to give him an Ativan. We didn't give you any permission for that. And he's like, he says, you know, well, I'm not, same thing. I don't need your permission. I'm going to contact Child Services, and I'm going to do this. But I said, no, you're not going to do that either. So I got an attorney on the phone to talk to him. He changed his voice real quick and the stuff he was saying, but still tried to insist on doing some things to take Naeem's life. So that night, I wrote a medical directive for him to be full-coded, even though that's supposed to already pre-exist, that if anything happens to Naeem, he's full-coded. Meaning that you do everything to revive him. He's not a DNR person with do not resuscitate. In that medical directive, it said he's full cold. They can't take no organs. And we want that doctor removed and not around Naeem at all. We went as far as having a DCF, a child services case, open on that doctor. We submitted that. That was back in January. So moving right along. So after we told them that we would, yes, like an EEG at this point, so they gave him all that Ativan and to see where he is, but we're going to wait a couple hours until that stuff wears off and Naeem's back to himself. And when he got back to himself, started moving again and responding, we let an EEG go on, and he passed great, you know, flying colors, you know, great brain activity. So moving right along, Naeem is still there. They can't get him, you know, get the home health care. So Shalyn is the person who's the nurse navigator at Nemours Children's Hospital. She said she contacted 18 agencies, and, you know, they had no choice but to have Naeem there. So Naeem is there. So what they started doing is they started neglecting him. So he had a urinary tract infection. Simple stuff that could be avoided to make sure he doesn't have that issue. We didn't have that problem at home, and we're at a house. They're a hospital, and you can't do what you need to do in a hygienic way to patient from having these simple problems. So anyways, Naeem ends up with a UTI. This, you know, creates problems for him. You know, his temperature goes up, creates other issues, he ends up, you know, having other problems, even like, you know, fluid in different places, you know, things of that nature. He has an infection. And so now he has to be treated with antibiotics. The settings on his machine, you know, have to be adjusted in a different way. So they kept, you know, creating situations and circumstances. So after that, as we move forward, Naeem bounces that off in a couple of days, and he's great, medically cleared to go home again. So this doctor, somehow, we have no idea how they let him slip through the cracks to be around Naeem again. Dr. Potts, he's on Naeem. His name is Robert Potts, by the way. Nemours Children's Hospital, 6535, Nemours Parkway, Lake Nona, Florida. Dr. Robert Potts, MD. He looked like one of the people that was dead during the 6 in Washington, D.C., too. He looked just like the rest of them. And his attitude and energy seemed just like the rest of them. But anyways, getting back to the point, Dr. Robert Potts. So moving right along, he gave Naeem excessive amounts of calcium to make him constipated. And so while he had excessive amounts of calcium making him constipated, he let him sit there constipated. I guess he wanted something to rupture. He thought Naeem would be so septic that, you know, it would kill him, because that has happened to people. That happened to my grandmother. So getting back to the point. So another doctor comes on after he's no longer Naeem's attending doctor and sees, you know, what the situation was. He's like, Naeem is severely constipated, you know, and so he's been having too much calcium. I don't know how this happened, but I'm going to take care of it now. So it took Naeem a few days to take care of that. And he bounced off of that and was medically cleared to go home. So they still couldn't find home health care. So time goes on and goes on and goes on. Again, Naeem gets another UTI. So we take pictures of how they got his bandages full of defecation and filth, and it's disgusting. They weren't taking care of Naeem, so we made other complaints and things of that nature. Moving right along, you know, they're waiting to get him home, and then we go all the way into recently. Give me one second.
So, covering down.
Okay, I apologize. I'm back. I had to get a second. Oh. So we went right back into Naeem getting another UTI. So then he was medically cleared to go home June 1st. Oh, I left this up. So when he got the last UTI, they tried to find ways to give Naeem this extreme paralytic known as Rocuronium. Anybody in the medical field, you know what that is. You give that to people who are going into major surgery. Why would you give something that strong that paralyzes you to a baby 4 years old? Because you claim that, you know, you want to relax him enough, you know, to help him. It didn't even make sense. And we fought against that. And they gave him Rocuronium for like 2 weeks. So that didn't stop his heart. That can stop your heart, too. But it didn't stop Naeem. So he was medically cleared to go home June the 1st. Okay? So medically cleared to go home June the 1st. All right, so I'm there June the 1st. I asked him to see, you know, I tell him to do some x-rays. I want to see everything. I want to look through all the stuff. So I'm reading the x-rays. I'm looking through all the stuff. And everything's good. He was medically cleared to go home. They medically cleared him to go home. So when Wednesday came, Wednesday morning, I'm there at the hospital with Naeem. I wake up. And they say, you know, it looked like, you know, Naeem's kidneys, you know, his bladder may have excessive fluid. So I say, let me see the x-ray. I say, don't look like that to me. So then another doctor comes. They're like, well, it looks like that to us, you know. We're just going to give him a little Lasix, you know, to, you know, ease things up. And the next thing you know, Naeem ended up with fluid on his lungs a day after that. And so now he has to take antibiotics again. And then they put him on that paralytic again. So then he starts getting better again. This goes into where he was good going into this weekend. So this Sunday, when when Dr. Potts made that phone call, there's another doctor, Dr. Longani, who also made a call, because I forgot to add this to it. So when he said that foolishness, me and my wife checked him, and I told him we record these messages. We got all the messages recorded, by the way.
Which foolishness did he say?
When he started talking about, you know, he going to declare our son dead because he gave him all the Ativan, And then we was like, you know, nah, you're not going to do that. But we checked him straight up, right? So here's what he did. And I'm going to call him that. And because I said at the hospital, and I said that not. So here's what the cracker did. So he turns around and lies and calls the police and said that I threatened his life. And when I get to the hospital, arrest me. So I didn't know none of this was going on. So the police rush at the hospital. They're like, where's he at on the road? Where's he on the road? They want to know where I am driving. So I contact the attorney and tell the attorney what he did. And then so the attorney and myself and my wife, we call the hospital, okay? And so Langani says, no, nobody called the police. You remember what she was saying? That was the woman. Yeah. She said, nobody called the police. Nobody did that. And so that, yeah, the police are still here. So, and I told the attorney, I'm like, they say the police are still. He said, well, you need to go in there, so if you need me, just call me. So I go in there and I talk to him. I said, you mean to tell me that? I said, I got all the conversations recorded. I said, no one threatened him. I said, we threatened him with intelligence, maybe. That's about it. I said, and we threatened his very, very twisted medical procedures and his medical opinion. So anyways, moving right along. I said, I would like to speak to your sergeant and who's ever been charged to press charges against him. I said, for filing a false police report, because if there is a report out there, it's false because I have the recordings. And so then they had a police officer sitting in front of Naheem's door like he's in jail. You know how they do when people are in the holding cells. And so we had to get that, tell them that's intimidation, the baby in the coma, like, what are you doing? That got to stop. So we had to have that stop. So that's what Dr. Potts did. So coming back to now, Dr. Langani called my wife a week before this happened to Naeem. And she says, if Naeem's heart stopped, what do you all want to do? So she was like, Naeem's heart is great. He never had a heart issue. So there's no reason for it to stop. She said, I understand that. I know that. But I'm just saying if it did. And she said, we want y'all to do everything possible to help Naeem. So they've been targeting Naeem. They just wanted to know how to rock with it. So this Sunday, she gave Naeem, we don't know what it was, whatever kind of injection she gave him stopped his heart. And she said, you know, all sorts of different things that didn't make sense. He saw it look like, you know, his face was a little flushed, so she gave him something to knock that up. Naeem's face is always flushed. He's been like that since he's been at the hospital. I mean, there's nothing new. Like, what are you talking about? It doesn't make sense. So that caused his heart to stop, but he's a fighter. His heart kept on going after help, and he was fine. He was fine for hours, 8 to 12 hours at night. They came in the morning, gave him something else. That means Monday morning, the 14th, fighting and going on strong. So they're going to come in with tissues and try to do all kind of crazy conversations about, you know, you guys just want to do a DNR. I said, we already told you he's full-coded. My wife told him, we already told you he's full-coded. She broke every information down in the full code that we gave them. She checked them. And so moving right along. After that, they kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on. So she kept telling him, she said, I feel something very suspicious. She says, you know, that she's having all these different thoughts and feelings, and she was like, she said, something is not right. Something is going on. And so we have private consultation back and forth with each other, you know, about how to move with them. Not, we already know what we're going to do, but the garbage that they were trying to spew at us. So we go back in the room, then this doctor, his name is Robert, two first name, Dr. Robert Smith, he sits down with us. He says, paraphrase, you know, you guys believe in God. I don't really believe in God, so just trying to see where you guys are coming from, you know. You know, I dabble with religions, you know, when I was in school, but just trying to see where you guys are coming from, I really think you guys need to do a DNR. I was like, for what? You know, and then she was telling them for what. She checked them, you know, about that's not what we're doing. And about Naeem's life and how great he is. And we checked him about how Naeem was very healthy before he got there. He had pneumonia. That was it. But other than that, he was fine. And he didn't come here for any other stuff they got going on. He come there for that. And so Ray in that conversation, which is also recorded, he gets a call to come back to the room. And she says, my wife, his mother, that they're about to start some shit. Excuse my language. I ain't misquote you.
But anyway, you're fine.
That's what she said. Mm-hmm. And so she felt it. This is before anything. And so we walk around the other way. Then they're gonna call out our names, talking about we're not helping them anymore. And we're like, what? And so Then they start smiling at each other and walking away. This after they were doing like some fake CPR, and they just, you know, stopped. And so then they stopped, and, you know, she's his mother. So, you know, now she's devastated, about to break down. So I just like kind of leaped over the crack and went and started doing CPR to my son. And his vitals basically was great, you know, 102 heart rate, 100 pulse, and his oxygen was great. And they were live at that time now. And so they wasn't coming back, and they wouldn't come back in. They called the police on us, you know. And I'm going to wrap this up because I know I've been speaking for a moment. And, you know, not trying to be long-winded, but just, you know.
No, it's fine, Doc. Trust me. You have 45 minutes. You can finish, and then you can have a meaningful speak. This is your program, and we'll also come back on tomorrow. We want to document this. This is for the world is listening to this. We have an international audience. You have the floor, Black Power.
Black Power. We appreciate that. So here's the situation. So at this particular point in time, you know, I'm there doing chest compressions, you know, helping him. His vitals are there. His mother's doing the proper thing, making sure everything is documented and giving full support, you know. And, you know, eventually, as everybody saw, you know, we both were doing CPR. So getting back to the point. So anyways, I'm there standing up for 2 hours giving him chest compressions, just over and over and over again. And his mother for roughly almost the same thing, like over an hour, helping. We both doing this back and forth. And so, you know, anyways, and all this time we're recording, they call the police to come in at the time. We getting arrested. We got 30 minutes or we going to jail. And I don't know if y'all can hear. I said, no, their ass got 30 minutes. And we don't have no 30 minutes. Anybody come here is going to be self-defense. And his mother, she was like, you know, we not going anywhere. We saving our son's life. And that's how it was. So when the police came to the door, you know, we backed them up. Come in here to help. If you're not coming here to help, you know, go. You know, just go somewhere. But ain't nobody stopping this. You know, we have a right as his parents. We have a human right, constitutional right, every right to help and save our son's life. And those doctors should be in here doing that. So anyways, wrapping it up, so kept on and kept on. We went on until we could no longer hear a heartbeat. We used a stethoscope. You know, we heard a faint heartbeat at one point in time, and then kept going and kept going and kept going. And then we absolutely heard. This is after 3 hours of our son's life, you know, us trying to save his life and doing what we could to preserve his life. But we didn't have access to
medication. And did they unplug his
They manually was touching things and pulling things out and whatever they can do, you know, through another location, they did that, just cut things off to interfere. But his ventilator was still on, and his pulse ox was still on, where we can see what's going on. But all other stuff, they shut down. Even his medicine, there was a nurse in there, you know, who was crying and wanted to help. She said they wouldn't let her, but she still came in, though, and made sure the last bit of medicine that was in the thing was on, and they forced her to get out. And then my sister, his aunt, she said, we don't have him DNR. What are y'all doing? So the medical director, the ugly, twisted, looked like she came from Poltergeist, witch-looking Madeline Kahana. If you see her, she looked like she cast spells and flies on a broom. My sister said, we don't have no DNR. And she was like, well, we made one. We did it. And we did the DNR, paraphrasing what she said. And that's what she said. And they was laughing. I'm trying to think if I'm missing out anything. That happened. They got the police lieutenant out, and of course, you know, I contacted the attorney, and attorneys came out there to assist us, you know, and it was, you know, very, very powerful.
Did you guys call 911 and they stopped 911?
Oh, yeah, let me back it up. As soon as we started with him, we called 911, and the ambulance came out to the hospital, and the hospital wouldn't let them upstairs. They told them they couldn't come upstairs to help him. And I said, so when they came in, so we can't let the ambulance. I said, why you can't let them up? I said we can do this anywhere. You can always have a patient leave a hospital. I said, that's an ambulatory service we call. We want him out of here. But at the time, we're still trying to save his life. You know, we can't fight them and save his life. We had to choose. We in self-defense, deal with them on a physical level or save his life. The most important and most revolutionary thing and warrior thing and parent thing and responsible thing was to preserve his life. We can worry about other things later in any type of way or form, lawfully speaking. But moving right along, so that is, basically, I guess I can't at this point in time, maybe more later, but I can't really think about anything, you know, more to say. We haven't really slept, you know, and it's a devastating thing, you know, and we have to make arrangements that is nonsensical. Our son didn't go there for that. We know that now he's in the ancestral realm of the Igun and every other realm and dimension that he's in, you know, fighting hard like he's supposed to. For those of you who are listening, hashtag justice for Naeem Carter, hashtag justice for Naeem Carter. For those of you who actually yes. want to contribute via Cash App, one of his Cash Apps is hashtag RBPPHQ1, hashtag RBPPHQ1, hashtag RBPPHQ1. That's one of the official Cash Apps. There's crap going on out there. They got her name talking about they Azuria set my somebody raised $10,000 in Milwaukee. Try to do that. Yeah. So all of that is bogus. There's no official GoFundMe or Cash App out there.
Are you telling me that somebody's making a GoFundMe off of your child's name already? How evil.
And she gonna break it down when she speaks, but it's only that official. There's only officially two Cash Apps right now, and it will be publicly from us. No, whoever's doing that is disgusting. But I was in Milwaukee. But I'm gonna at this point in time, just wrap up what I'm saying. The whole point of bottom line is they killed our son. Traditionally, they shoot us in the street with bullets. Naeem was shot with a needle that stopped his heart. So just remember that. Traditionally, they shoot us down to the ground with bullets. He was shot with a needle. In the same way, there were things that changed everything.
When he's supposed to be going home. And
right.
Also, I have a question. You said, I know, because I know you guys, he's been supposed to go home. You guys were trying to get a nurse, and that's been the problem with finding nurses. To for him to go home because of is there a shortage or something of nurses, or do you believe that the hospitals try to whiteball you guys and reaching out to these places?
That is of an opinion because we had one. It was a sister who owned a nursing agency, and she reached out to us. She had nurses ready to go. We were going to take those three and do the rest work of ourselves. She called the hospital, to basically let them know. Next thing you know, it's like he won't answer my phone calls anymore. She won't answer the insurance company phone calls anymore. And then the hospital said, they won't do it anymore. So it's just, they're crazy. So it's like sabotage, too. So all kind of crazy stuff happens. Yeah, they're very wicked. But, so wrapping up, I just want the world to know that they shot him with a needle, the same way they shoot us with bullets. Just hashtag justice for Naeem Carter. We appreciate everybody. Love you all. Revolutionary love and black power. And thank you. And now
love you too, brother.
She's coming to speak. Black power.
Yes, yes, black power. Wild queen. Thank you, Dr. Ali. Sister Amina, our heart goes out to you. You are a very strong sister. I mean, no one could imagine having to endure what you went through, and you fought so not only with strength but with graciousness as a woman, as a mother. And we're here for you in any capacity that we can, but you have the floor, queen.
I appreciate that. Black power and peace and love to everybody. First off, I want to say thank everybody for tuning in and wanted to hear more about what happened with Naeem and they're supporting us, you know, even though we, you know, a lot of us can see, you know, what was going on. It's a lot of people who also are talking against what we did and they're talking against Naeem. So if you see things like that, please don't hesitate to protect Naeem and protect his story and his journey. Naeem had his near drowning last year of February of 2020. It was very unexpected. We had just moved into our home. We wasn't even there 2 weeks, and Naeem had his accident, so we couldn't even settle in, you know, our new living space. Right after his accident, Naeem functioned greatly. His organs functioned greatly. They also, the hospital at Ben Hill starved Naeem for 4 days. They only gave him fluids, and what fluids they gave him, this is the first hospital I'm speaking about. So Naeem has been fighting for a very long time, and these hospitals have been trying to take Naeem out for a long time. So back to what I was saying, they was giving him this fluid called sterile irrigation water for surgical equipment. So we noticed the bottle that they was using to disseminate the liquid and the fluids into Naeem's IV. And we noticed it had a red label on it that says warning. And so we're like, what in the world? Warning? Why would they put that, you know, in his fluids going to, you know, for his fluid? So we looked it up and we found out that it was not for ingestion, for it to be ingested. And the symptoms was edema, which he had at the moment. And it causes them, people, to not be able to open their eyes. It causes them to not be able to cry. It makes them dry up and, like, and make their insides, you know, shrivel up and dry. So when we found out immediately, we addressed the situation. We let them know that we basically caught on. We confiscated the bottles, and we made them take him off of whatever fluid they was giving him. And immediately, Naeem started to improve from the edema. And actually, after they stopped, it's like they tried to, like, make the situation as worse as possible and make it look like it was as bad as it seemed by making his condition worse through the medicines and the fluids that was given him. So after they took away the irrigation water and started giving him, you know, just the purified water, Naeem's condition started to improve. And then, like I said, you know, like he was telling you, like people saying, you know, 2 weeks later, Naeem started moving. And his condition continued to improve. You know, I made sure I set the room and tone to be as loving as possible. We will be releasing videos and pictures of Naeem's room when he first got admitted to Event Health, how I decorated the room. You should have seen how those white people's faces was. They couldn't believe that this family and that me stand up 24 hours to make sure Naeem's room was decorated full of love and everything that he loved. Every cartoon character, every snack, every juice, whatever he liked, I made sure I put it in his room to set the aroma for him to know that, you know, the energy of his healing and me and his family putting that energy out there for him to fight was in the room. So going forward, Naeem was discharged from the hospital in April, where he was in home care, and he stayed there for, you know, a very long time where we took care of him. Like she said, we took care of him. Naeem did greatly. Naeem was aware of what was going on around him, of his siblings. He was able to, you know, make it through his fourth birthday, where he had a whole party. And even though he wasn't able to, you know, be fully present, you know, I know he enjoyed, you know, being able to have his birthday and have his siblings sing happy birthday to him, because that was one of his favorite, you know, favorite things to hear. You know, he would just sing that out of nowhere just because. And whenever he see a candle, he would start saying happy birthday, because he loved birthday parties and he just loved birthdays. So it was one of his favorite things. So going forward into December, Naeem was admitted to Nemours Children's Hospital of December 2020, for pneumonia, and it wasn't too severe. We caught it just in time, and only reason why that happened is, of course, because we had different nurses coming in, but also, you know, when you have a trach, and you know you're in a type of condition, you can get pneumonia, you can get an infection, and it was caught in time, you know, on our end because we made sure Naeem was up to par for his appointments and everything that he needed. Event Health did not give us the adequate equipment to take home with Naeem. We didn't know that he was supposed to have this machine to help make sure that he was able to release certain inflammation and phlegm that would be on his chest because he couldn't cough. So, you know, due to that fact that, you know, it caused him to have the pneumonia. And so, you know, he was, you know, admitted to Naeem Morris Children's Hospital a few weeks after he was admitted. He was cleared of pneumonia. And then, like he said, Dr. Def tried to do the brain death exam on Naeem again, which that's not why he came into the hospital. So, like I was saying, Naeem has been targeted by the medical industry since the beginning. And this doctor came in and targeted Naeem again, and we made it clear that's not why Naeem was there. Clearly, he's not there for a brain death exam. Naeem has a trach and G-tube and came here from home care assistance. Why would he need a brain death exam if he's already been cleared of having brain activity? If he didn't have that, he wouldn't have a trach to begin with, and he wouldn't have a G-tube to begin with. You know, they wouldn't give people that if they didn't have that. So he also told his dad that he's not going to send a corpse home. So we had to have these type of conversations with these people. And they tried everything, every term, every conversation to mess with us mentally, but they didn't know that we were not the parents to give up on our child. And it wasn't nothing that they can say to us and make us think the worst possible outcome for Naeem. Our mind and our spirit was focused on his healing, and we knew that regardless of the fact of whatever the outcome was, it's not over until Naeem said it was over. So going into this last week, we got a phone call, and it was the same doctor that gave him the so-called medicine that they gave him Sunday, asking me what do I want them to do if Naeem heart stops. And I told them everything possible needs to be done. CPR, epinephrine, the defibrillator, whatever it takes to preserve his life needs to be done. And that was stated. And I know that was recorded because it was recorded through, you know, of course, the hospital. They record their phone calls. And also we have things that's documented as well. And going into Sunday, they gave Naeem something saying that because his face was flushed, she thought he was having an allergic reaction, so they wanted to give him something to clear it up. Mind you, before they give a child something, they're supposed to make sure that it's clear with the parents first to make sure that's okay to do, and that's not what she did. They gave him the medicine without approval, without telling us that's what they were going to do. And then after I found, I didn't know at first. We didn't know that they gave him the medicine at first until after Naeem was having these moments. We didn't find out until after they did CPR on him like two or three times. And then that's when we was told that he was given the medicine. So after they gave him the medicine, 20 minutes later, Naeem's heart stopped. And I'm like, okay, Naeem has never had a heart problem. Even though he had his condition, Naeem's heart only stopped once, and that was when he had his accident in the beginning. And it never stopped after that. He never had to take any heart medication. He never had to take any medication to make any of his organs function. So me knowing and us knowing that Naeem didn't have a heart condition, that put me on high alert at that very moment. But it was like days. I kept feeling something. I kept feeling weird. I kept feeling like it was like my energy was low, and I knew it was Naeem pulling at my energy for energy. And so I had to make sure I maintained my energy for him because I knew it was him. And I knew something was off. I felt it, but I couldn't understand what it was. So that day, I noticed, and we noticed, how the medical staff was acting. Like, they was saying things to prepare us, and it was like certain words and certain terms they would use. It was like, well, we just make sure, you know, you talk to them, and, you know, if you want to hold them, if you want to get up there and lay with them, different things like that. So I'm like, okay. And then so they brought in also like a basket of napkins, tissues. Like, here you go. Here's some tissues for you guys. I'm like, what are you bringing tissues in here for? So we're looking at all of this, and it's like, okay, these people, they're up to something. And so the day before yesterday, Sunday, I seen an RN nurse, and she was standing by the bedside, and Naeem.
Something going on with the lines. Can y'all hear me?
We can hear you now. Go ahead. We can hear you.
I was making sure. I heard something in the background. Okay, so in the middle.
Yeah, I'm hearing something as well.
In the middle. Okay.
But go ahead. Don't worry about the distraction. They're trying to throw us off.
Okay.
Go ahead, sister.
Okay. In the middle of them doing CPR on Naeem on Sunday, I seen the RN nurse. She just standing beside the bed, and I'm looking at her the whole time. She's not paying attention to me because she's looking at everything good, but I'm looking directly at her. And she's rolling her eyes, and she like huffing and puffing. And this is a white girl with like this fake blonde hair in her hair. And she's just sitting there rolling eyes and huffing and puffing, like, why this baby won't give up? Basically, that's what I'm getting from her. Like, she irritated the fact that her name was Amy, by the way. And she irritated the fact that, you know, we're not giving up on Naeem, and Naeem not giving up. But she rolling eyes and puffing and huffing. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to say nothing to her because I got to make sure my energy and everything is focused on Naeem, because he's going through something right now, and these people are harming him. Like, they're purposely doing things to him because they're tired of him, and that's what it was. They were tired of taking care of Naeem, and then they attempted to take him out, giving him whatever medicine they gave him, and that didn't work. And Naeem's heart kept going. It kept going. And every time they did CPR, they thought that it wasn't gonna work. So Naeem's heart kept pumping and pumping and pumping. He kept fighting. And we let them know when we had this last conversation with Dr. Smith. He pulled us to the side in a different room, like Chief was saying, and was trying to have this conversation with us about Naeem and, like, you know, you guys need to, you know, do not resuscitate, you know, agreement. I'm like, we are not, no. You know, we told y'all this is what we wanted. We're not giving up on Naeem, and when Naeem calls it, that's when it's over. But until then, everything needs to be done for Naeem to preserve his life. That regardless of what it takes, what needs to be done, it needs to be done. And we have this recorded, and, you know, of this conversation. And right after that, you know, he walks out of the room, and I'm telling Chief, I'm like, something is off, something is wrong. And then the last time they did CPR on him, you know, they had us out of the room, me, him, and his grandma out of the room. And he had other family members in there, but, you know, they wasn't paying attention like that. Of course, you're not. They're giving in there around him, doing different things. You're not going to know exactly what they're giving him. And I feel that they gave him something else to make his condition worse more. So
right.
The last time they gave him CPR.
And the thing is you already mentioned the fact that he was given basically poison through the bad water. He was given all kind of other treatments or lack of treatment that causes illness. So we believe along with you, and we, you know, whatever you need, we pray that the Creator gets you what you need in order to make the truth be revealed immediately. The truth mm-hmm. needs to be revealed immediately. And you already yeah. know it. You don't have – you basically are going to just have to get, I guess, what do you call it, a scientific documentation of it. But we've witnessed mm-hmm. this along with you. You just, you know, at yeah. this point are seeking scientific or medical documentation of what you already know has taken place as it's muggle. So, right. yes, ma'am, go ahead. I just wanted to, you know, I've been here with you guys while this has been going on.
Okay.
And yep. the fact that you know, have been trying to get him home and just the fact that the hospital has been so evil that this doctor has a open case for abuse. The hospital has a liability at stake with this case being open and other cases being open. So we know that the wickedness that they unfolded is not justified, and they would have to be held accountable for it. It's no getting around it. But
mm-hmm.
the tenacity and the strength that you and your family hold is incredible. And it is in fact a very spiritual situation, just like you were feeling your son and what was going on. You know, after just watching you guys on yesterday, I really haven't been able to sleep. I think I might have got 2 or 3 hours sleep just off and on. I lay down, I think about you guys. I see your face. I see Dr. Aline's face. And we know he was done wrong. I'm way down here in Texas and feeling like, you know, what more can we do to help? But we're in here for the long haul. This program mm-hmm. is open. Whenever you guys are open, we're going to have to put our heads together. And we will be coming your way very soon to be on the ground to be with you guys. We'll talk about that off of these lines, But I just wanted to say that. Go ahead. You still have the floor. I just wanted to just open my heart to you right quick.
Thank you. Thank you. And it means a lot to me, you know. And that definitely is why we are taking the extra measures to get a personal person to do an autopsy on Naeem to make sure, you know, exactly what was going on. And, you know, we called 911, and we tried to get him to a different hospital at the time that, you know, his dad was doing CPR on him. And they would not let the ambulance upstairs. And right before, you know, that they, you know, tried to really, that they took Naeem out, we asked for an X-ray. And they kept avoiding the question. Like, we kept asking, okay, well, let's get an X-ray, because they were doing CPR on him. You know, they did CPR on him a few times, and we wanted to make sure, you wanted to see what was going on internally. And I'm sure it was something that they did, and they had to go ahead and take him out. And that's why they, like, the last time they did CPR on him, they barely did the CPR on him, that they were there before. They barely did anything, and they barely attempted to preserve his life then, and they were like, you know, we're not doing anything any further. The medical, the nurse director of the floor is the one who called it, and so she moved her hands, and she backed up, and the whole team backed up. It was like, okay, what are you doing? So that's when Chief jumped in and started doing CPR on him, and one of the doctors tried to intervene, and he moved him out of the way. And it was like, no, don't touch me. And then we told them, don't touch him. And as soon as he started doing CPR on Naeem, everything popped up, heart rate, pulse, everything, and I got it documented. And I showed it. And it was like the most diabolical, the most sickening experience. I don't even know how to explain it. It's like, it's not even something that you would even see on television. You may see certain things like that, but it's like to witness the
pure,
like,
evil.
I don't even know what even that right there is too good. It's something that's unexplainable for them to just walk off, and they looked at the monitor, they're looking at it, still in the room, and we're showing them, like, look, he has a heart rate, what are you doing? And I'm letting them know, and it's recorded too. I'm like, you agreed legally to have him on full code. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. We legally agreed to this.
At one point when y'all was pushing full code blue or whatever, they came on the intercom and said, stop pushing the code.
Right. And I'm like, well, okay, how are you going to tell us not to quit pushing the code when when it's a child in need of assistance, and he's in the requirement to receive that assistance, and they did nothing. They did nothing. They was planning it. They've been planning it, and it was terrible, man. And if there was a little white baby, I'm telling you, that would never been done. That baby life would have been preserved. Even if his organs and heart was doing what it was doing naturally, they would have made sure that baby had an organ, had a heart, different things like that. But Naeem's case, they were tired of doing what they had to do for Naeem, and they decided Naeem's will instead of Naeem deciding his will. And Naeem fought until the end, and I'm so proud of him to be his mom and to just witness how strong he is. And I will forever live by the example of my son. And it's like I'm still processing it, and it's like I had these moments where it's like, you know, I'm not going to be able to have those moments that I wanted to have with him by, you know, experiencing, you know, him, you know, coming fully out of his coma, because he appeared in so many of my relatives' dreams, showing us that him coming out of his coma and just different things that we would see in our dreams. And multiple people would have these dreams about Naeem. So it was destined for him to do that, but they took away the opportunity for him. And I just would like everybody to continue to please share his story. Tell everybody you know, hashtag Justice for Naeem Carter. Drop a blue heart. Post it. Like I said, tell everybody, everyone you know, please do not let this sleep. We cannot let this go. And it just, like, it sickens me to see all of these people, all of these trained professionals to just stand there and rather, you know, they're sacrificing their license, getting removed from them. They decided to let this baby boy die in front of their eyes and watch his parents do CPR on him for 2 hours straight and did nothing. And they, we was doing it so long, and they and
I think it was 3 hours. It was 5 to 8. Wasn't it 3 hours?
I don't even know the time. To me, it felt like it was longer.
I know you've been in. I know you in a dream. It's like, but yeah, well, the reason why I know it was 3 because Dr. Ali called. I heard him screaming. It was like 5 something. And then it all happened about 8. It was close to 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole time, you know, and then they eventually closed the door. You know, the door was open. They eventually closed the door, and we're still doing CPR on him. And they're still standing around. They're hitting them. They hit the speaker button to access the audio in the room to listen to us. And then they had the nerve to say we're cutting off the air in the room. So they tried to hot box us in there. It still didn't stop us from doing what we had to do. You know, and then they told us we had 30 minutes, then they were going to come take him to the morgue. I'm like, no, you ain't going to come take nothing. We let them know, no, you're not taking nothing. You're not coming in this room unless you're helping. You're not touching nothing. You're not doing nothing. We're not moving.
And that was like about an hour in.
Yeah, definitely.
And when they were saying that he had a pulse, his oxygen, you know what I'm saying, was good. So,
everything,
you know.
His oxygen, his pulse was in 100, it would go down to the lowest it would go down to was the 30, and we brought it back up, you know, and that's why we kept having to do CPR on him, but it wasn't, you know.
And all they had to do was come with the defibrillator and turn his machines back on.
Exactly.
Well, I pray that y'all don't have to go through a long process, that this needs to be exposed. Everyone that's listening, we need to push this, and whatever medical team legal team you get, you need all hands on deck on this one.
Okay.
All hands
and
on deck. Now,
videos,
what happened when the video ended? They put the hospital on lockdown. Then there was some kind of a fake ass bomb threat.
Bomb threat, yeah, and they had the hospital surrounded by police. And, you know, basically they didn't know who we were. They thought we were just the average black people. And I would always tell them when they would let Naeem get sick,
and they wouldn't do what they had to do. Like, they would have Naeem, like, certain, like, bandages and different things. Like, they would be covered in stool. And we would let them know, like, how y'all let him sit like that. Like, you need to fix this, do this now. And I would let them know, like, everything y'all doing is being documented. Naeem's condition is being documented. Naeem is not the average baby. Naeem is known. He's not the average baby. They need to do what they need to do, or Nemours Hospital will be exposed for whatever. And they didn't believe that. So once they seen us take action and we started telling them who we were, then I'm pretty sure that's why they did the fake bomb threat. The hospital probably done that. You know, it's like, you know, we got Panthers in here. You know, they finna start showing up and riot in the hospital. Ain't no telling what they thought.
Well, but I know that we did call the hospital. I called myself personally, and I was like, this is Crystal Muhammad, and we're calling on behalf of the New Black Panther radio broadcast, and we want to know, why is it that this child is alive and you are refusing to preserve his life, and why are his parents and they're doing CPR? Why are we watching this? And the person who answered the phone said, who is this again? And I said, you know, I repeated the same thing. So we want to know, we are watching, the world wants to know, why are you allowing this to happen to this child? Why is the hospital not administering life-preserving care? And they put me on hold and said they were transferring me. And, of course, they sent me to a voicemail, but I hung up. But we had people calling, but no one made any threats, just to be clear. The question was that, you know, and we told them, we demanded you guys go and do what you swore an oath to do, you know. So no one threatened anyone, but they are so
right.
They're so evil, and they done so much wrong that they feel the repercussion. Now, let me ask you one thing, too, because everything, and I say it is so on the human realm, but on the spiritual realm. And did it start storming after he passed?
When it started storming, it was so funny because we had just came from outside, me and Chief and Naeema. We had just came from outside literally like 10 minutes before, and it was sunny. The sky was clear. It was hot. And then right after they stepped off of him and was like, we're done, it started immediately storming, like raining, thundering, everything. And it did not stop. It kept going. Even today, it stormed a lot. Like, it stormed, but it was also sunny. It was, like, storming, but it was sunny at the same time, you know. So it was very majestic, but it also shows how much power that we had and Naeem had, you know. But that's a whole different type of energy and spirit released on the planet. You know, Naeem's will and determination, it's just definitely something that's going to be forever a motivation for me. Also, it's videos on YouTube talking about Naeem. It's people making videos against what we did and so-called explaining the situation. If anybody see that, report it, comment on there, get it taken down, contact YouTube, let them know they're giving misinformation. I haven't watched the video myself. I've seen it on TikTok. It's like Naeem has over a few million views on the videos, but on TikTok and different social media outlets. So this is worldwide now. And Naeem's story is gonna be forever talked about, and his legacy and his fight, you know, will be forever, you know, something I'm gonna forever talk about. But also the Cash App, you know, I didn't make a GoFundMe.
And yes, they knew. They need the money. They need the resources. They have to bury this child. I mean, a white kid goes and murders black people. A white kid, Dylan Roof, evil ass, went into a church and murdered black people, and the white community raised him money. This child was murdered by black people. Murdered by black people. I mean, I'm sorry, about white people in the hospital. And black people need to be standing up. Need to be standing up and helping to financially support. Need to be helping to financially support Dr. Lee, Dr. Lee, and Sister Mina. And we need to cover them. And anyone that is so wicked to do such evil videos, your day is coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
Please believe.
Oh, yeah, big time. Big time, you know, and it's like, I'm not even, you know, I'm not I don't know what it is we're talking about or whatever, you know, I'm going to continue to do what I have to do, and I'm going to continue talking more about it and expressing what I feel, and I'm going to keep saying that Nemours Children's Hospital killed Naeem. They did that. They purposely stopped his heart, and they purposely tried to take him out. They purposely did not take care of him. We have pictures before and after and videos before and after of Naeem, of how he was before he went into the hospital versus how he was now, you know. But, yeah, like I said, I put it on my Facebook page. I did not create the GoFundMe, and it's under Amina Zuri Set My, and it's based out of Milwaukee. I didn't do that. And I also don't have a Cash App with Amina Zuri. My Cash App is $ Kai, K-A-I, Divine Love, 777. I posted it on my Facebook page under Amina Zuri Set My Eye. That's my Facebook page, and you can go there and get the.
I hope you guys are letting you GoFundMe know that this is a false account.
Yeah,
make sure y'all
so
make that complaint.
I reported it, and I told whoever else to report it. You know, to report that, because that was not me. I didn't do that, and it's sick that people would do that, you know. But, you know, people do that. I knew, you know, people do that a lot. But, you know, it's just sick that people would take advantage of a baby and us, you know, the situation to try to get money. They just sad, you know. And, of course, we do need the resources to help bury Naeem. We needed to help with his autopsy. We found out it was going to be $8,000 to do a private autopsy on Naeem, and also with the funeral expenses. We was not prepared for this at all. Like, it was not even something that we even discussed about, because we seen Naeem's will and improvement. So we wasn't nowhere near
And honestly, they've been in survival mode. They've been at the hospital every day for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is up to the family, the extended family, for us to cover down and help them. So send a cash out to RBPPHQ1.
Mm-hmm. You've been there since the very beginning. When Naeem first, she was one of the first people that was on call when Naeem first had his accident. So she's been on a journey with us since the beginning, since February.
This whole broadcast, the cast of all
right,
of us, this
exactly,
whole new Black
right
Panther Party. We love
that's
y'all,
right,
man.
Right.
We've been here.
That's right, Queen.
When we couldn't even say, when we say his name, but we couldn't say who his parents were, we've been along this whole journey with you guys. You know, and we're going to be here for the long haul. We all we got. We all we need, you know.
Any weapon formed against us will fall. Mm-hmm.
Any weapon formed against you is going to go back to the person that launched it 100-fold. It's going to go back to those. Anyone that's coming against us is going to come back to them 1,000-fold. And quickly.
That's what I told them.
I
told them that too. I'm let them know. Like, y'all just don't know. What repercussions is going to come behind this? And I told them, you know, Nemours Children's Hospital is going to be Naeem Carter's Children's Hospital. I told them to be Naeem Carter's Children's Hospital for what they did. And this is very terrible, what they did. And, you know, we're still processing. And, you know, Dr. Ali, he tries, he's getting on here and talking, you know, as strong as he does. But it's like moments where, you know, it's very he has these moments where he has to pause and it overtakes him, you know, because he has to do that as a father, you know, and it's hard for any parent to have to do, including myself. So I commend him, because, you know, I was, you know, very distraught whenever it first started, and, you know, he took action without hesitation and jumped in and started doing CPR. And I didn't hesitate to start documenting and posting it and letting the world see, because if we did not do that, nobody would have believed us about what was going on. So I'm
glad.
Both
things are equally as important. I just want to reiterate that. Both things was responsible for his life and survival, because I'm going to tell the world something. If that was not exposed to the world on social media, they would have probably had more. They probably had like the National Guard there. You know what I'm saying? And they would have been doing everything in their power, because she exposed it, because it was put out there. That was also a buffer. The same way the police be doing their buffers. They'll have a local news team that they work with come out there and say, he has everybody held hostage. They do something like that. So we utilize the platforms for the truth and justice instead of they fake news stuff that they got going on. And she was able to do.
And not only that, which we'll talk about, which not only that, while this has been going on, there's been fake reports going out saying that Dr. Ali tried to harm himself or was wanting to harm himself. That is not true. There's been fake reports going out saying that he had a weapon. That was not true. This has been an attack not only on Naeem and his family, but on Dr. Ali. And as we will find out, time is going to reveal it all, and the truth is coming out. This was a total operation from what the hospitals did to how he said at the beginning of the show how they came out with a SWAT team for a drowning case. What is going on, people? And look how this family came under attack while they were by Moorish World TV. It's Wicked to Hawker Bay and this Jamal Cannon dude in Milwaukee. This is an operation. And I want to say to everyone in the movement, pay attention and watch your children. These white people are so wicked.
That's why we need our own hospitals and everything. We have to make that manifest. We have to. And we kept who we were private from the hospital for protection for Naeem, you know, and we didn't say anything about who we were until we started.
Up until yesterday.
Exactly. We didn't say nothing. So we had to protect them because we was afraid that they would try to take him out even faster if they found out who we were, you know. So we had to protect him and not say nothing, you know. We had to keep it private from the world. Now it's no silence. Now it's all action and all go. It's time. You know, nothing is going to stop me from saying just for Naeem Carter, Nemours Children's Hospital killed Naeem. And, whatever y'all can do, share those videos. tell everybody you know, like I said.
Send that cash after RBPPHQ1. To get them the resources, they need to raise at least a minimum of $20,000 to get this independent autopsy, as well as to get the Naeem buried. That's the minimum. But if it's not something you've heard from them directly, don't go to any GoFund. The show is getting ready to cut off. We love you guys. And if you have any questions, y'all can hit us up at nbpp.org. We'll put y'all in contact with them. But, man, we'll see you soon on the ground. Justice for Naeem Carter. May the creator and ancestors protect Dr. Ali, Sister Amina, and their entire family. Protect them, give them strength and cover, and make every gate come, every door open to them that they need to get justice, to get closure, and to get the exposure of this wicked Nemours Hospital and this entire wicked medical industrial complex they use.